Welcome to the Young Turks. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur. We have an unbelievable show for you guys today. This show is gigantic. It's huge. We've got Puerto Rico. We've got unreal Republicans on gun control. Some of that will be in the first segment, but a lot of it will be in the second segment. Just as I predicted yesterday, now we have conservatives and the NRA saying, yes, what are we going to ban feet too? Because you could kick people. Ha ha ha. That's so funny. All right, we'll get to that story a little bit later in the program. And then new levels of fake news have infiltrated Google and Facebook. That's in the second hour. That is, look, you know what I like? I like being constructive. I don't like to just do a critique and leave it at that. I want to help try to figure out what the right answers are. In terms of fake news, it is a super hard question. And I'm not sure that there are any great answers. But I want to talk about it in the second hour. I want you to join that conversation. Send us tweets. Use YouTube, Super Chat, etc. That's how we get better, by talking to one another. All right, let's start the show. Okay. It is 13 days after Hurricane Maria hit, and finally the president has decided to go down to Puerto Rico. Now, it's not nearly as important to have the president down there as it is to have help down there. And over the weekend, not only government officials, including the mayor of San Juan, were noting that the United States was not helping nearly as much as it could, its own territory in Puerto Rico. There's a ship that is designed specifically for these kind of missions. It was sent 9 days after the hurricane. Oftentimes that ship is usually sent before the hurricanes because we know they're coming. It was sent tremendously late. All the American generals on the ground saying, we need more resource here, we don't have enough. And some news organizations did a wonderful job breaking down how little resources were sent to Puerto Rico vis-a-vis Florida and Houston, who were also just hit with hurricanes. So with that background, Donald Trump, of course, was mad at his critics because lives lost, that's, I guess, somewhat relevant. Hurricane damage, whatever. But if you have insulted the dear leader, that's a serious issue. And he said in a tweet over the weekend about Puerto Ricans, they want everything to be done for them when it should be a community effort. Why don't you just call them lazy while you're at it? The guy is a living, breathing stereotype machine, and I'm being kind there, but I won't as we continue to go forward. And then he called his critics, potentially including the mayor of San Juan, quote, politically motivated ingrates. Like, what? How dare you? If I give you the crumbs off my table, you're supposed to like it. One of our generals down there who's in charge of Hurricane Katrina efforts, when asked about those comments, said the mayor of San Juan is sleeping on a cot, working around the clock. Donald Trump is playing golf, enough said. So he doesn't actually have support from the people on the ground, including the folks we sent to help. But that's not going to stop Donald Trump. So what's he going to do? He's going to double down, he's going to triple down. He's finally going to Puerto Rico now, but he can't help himself because being racist is in his DNA. And I don't mean that it's a genetic or biological thing. It's just that he grew up with it, and he doesn't even know he's being racist. If you told him, and by the way, the media did, and his critics did, and he said, "What do you mean? What do you mean? I'm from Puerto Rico, and there's some great. I'm from New York, and there's some great Puerto Ricans in New York." And he thinks, what, I know a couple of Puerto Ricans, that's okay. How could I possibly be racist? I mean, they're lazy, they're ingrates, and they won't work for themselves after a hurricane knocks out all the power in their island. But you know, what do you mean racist? I don't know what you're talking about, right? So the most important thing for him is to protect his own ego. So before he goes to Puerto Rico, a couple of reporters asked him questions. Let's hear what he had to say.
She's come back a long way, and I think it's now acknowledged what a great job we've done. And people are looking at that. And in Texas and in Florida, we get an A+. And I'll tell you what, I think we've done just as good in Puerto Rico. And it's actually a much tougher situation. But I will tell you, the first responders, the military, FEMA, they have done an incredible job in Puerto Rico. And whether it's her or anybody else, they're all starting to say it. I appreciate very much the governor and his comments. He has said we have done an incredible job. And that's the truth.
This is about Puerto Rico and the people suffering there. But you have no sense of self. You have no conscience. So I think we got an A+ in Houston and Florida, and I think we've done just as well here in Puerto Rico. Hey, this is all about me. Why aren't people applauding me? Somebody give me a plus, please clap. So you want to know what the reality is? Let me quote Tony Cohen's memo here and Bloomberg. According to Bloomberg, quote, almost all private homes and businesses were without power as of Monday, and half the island was still without access to water and sewage treatment. That's a dozen days after the hurricane hit. We're getting an A+. Everybody's talking about how great I am, okay? Who cares about the people suffering in Puerto Rico? Let's talk about me and how wonderful I am. What a monster this guy is. Here, another one.
But now the roads are cleared, communication's starting to come back. We need their truck drivers. Their drivers have to start driving trucks. We have to do that. So on a local level, they have to give us more help.
Okay, you're not going to be surprised to find out that the roads are not cleared. Again, our guys on the ground, and I say, look, everybody on the ground is ours, first of all. It's Puerto Rico, it's part of America. I know that's probably news to Donald Trump. But when I say our guys, I mean our troops that we sent and other first responders we sent from the mainland to go help them. They're saying the roads are not cleared. They're not cleared. We've got, like I just told you, almost all of the homes and businesses are without power. And half the island doesn't have access to water or sewage treatment. He said, no, the roads are cleared and we're doing fantastic. The problem is their truck drivers don't want to drive. Oh, for God's sake. First of all, of course he made that up. There's not one news report about how truck drivers are like, well, the roads are clear, but I'm lazy. I'm a lazy Puerto Rican, so I don't want to drive her out. Okay, of course they're not going to say that. There's no news reports of them not willing to drive. It's a thing he made up. Why? Because he can't help himself. He thinks Puerto Rico, lazy. So I'm just going to say it's not my fault, it's their fault. They're suffering. I didn't send them help. They should have helped themselves. And by the way, that is the cycle of racism that you see over and over again. You treat the government, people in power treat minorities worse, then they're in a bad spot, and then they turn around and blame them for being in a bad spot. Well, a hurricane knocked out the whole goddamn island, all the power on the island. I don't know how we're supposed to, you know, Houston needed everyone else's help. Superstorm Sandy hit New York, New Jersey, the most powerful place on earth. They needed help. Florida needed help. When Puerto Rico needs help, lazy ingrates, won't drive. Yeah, it's their fault. Okay, he's such a bad guy. So that's right before he goes to Puerto Rico. Now he goes to Puerto Rico, and it has a press conference all about, you're going to be shocked to find out, Donald Trump and how great he is. Let's watch.
Mick Mulvaney is here, right there, and Mick is in charge of a thing called budget. Now, I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives.
This is joke time. And I'm being kind there. I don't think he's really joking. You're throwing our budget out of whack. Now I got to come down here and help these guys who won't help themselves, and I got to spend money on it. Houston, Florida, those are good Americans. I mean, we spend money on that. That makes sense. He never said Florida and Houston throw our budget out of whack, but just when it comes to Puerto Rico, because why? Because he thinks, I got to help these guys. Why don't we just give them some goddamn bootstraps? We have to help them, of course we do. Yeah, it's affecting our budget. Even if you thought, no, Jake, you're being unfair, he's just joking around. You think that's a good time to joke around? You go down there and you've got all these people hurt, injured, killed, and this island is absolutely devastated. The president finally comes down and says, hey, you're throwing our budget out of whack. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, now back to Donald Trump.
Every death is a horror. But if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina, and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died, and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. And what is your death count as of this moment? 17?
16 certified.
16 people certified. 16 people versus in the thousands. You can be very proud of all of your people, all of our people working together. 16 versus literally thousands of people. You can be very proud. Everybody around this table and everybody watching can really be very proud of what's taken place in Puerto Rico.
He's keeping count, man. No, it's okay. Hurricane Katrina killed lots and lots of people. This didn't kill as many people, so I win. I win. Hurricane Katrina. Now, that was a real catastrophe. So they screwed that up. I handled it better because only 16 people died. So everybody's telling us we've been doing wonderful, right? Right? Everybody around the table, you want me to give you federal government aid? Just tell me how wonderful I am, right? Because only 16 people died. I mean, this is not a big deal. Hurricane Katrina was a big deal. But this we handled wonderfully. Monster through and through. More.
Your governor has been who I didn't know. I heard very good things about him. He's not even from my party. And he started right at the beginning appreciating what we did. Right from the beginning, this governor did not play politics. He didn't play it at all. He was saying it like it was, and he was giving us the highest grades. And I want to, on behalf of our country, I want to thank you.
Okay, this governor, did he do a good job of rescuing people? I don't know, and I don't care. I mean, in the previous answer, I came down to Puerto Rico. I didn't know how many people died. I didn't bother. He's the president of the United States. Didn't ask someone, hey, before I go on the press conference, hey, can you tell me how many people died? Was it 17? Was it, what was it? Was it 16? Was it 16? Hurricane Katrina, that was terrible. That was hundreds or thousands. You're the president. You have all the resources in the world. Just ask someone before you go to the press conference, hey, how many people died in Hurricane Katrina? How many people died in this hurricane? Do you want to do like 1 second of homework? No. And do you care about the cleanup, the getting the roads cleared, all that stuff? No. This guy, he's giving us good grades. I like this guy. He compliments me every once in a while. Oh yeah, feeds my ego. That's why I like this guy. Why were we here again? I forgot. One more.
It's an honor to work with you folks, and we'll all get it done together. So I appreciate your support, and I know you appreciate our support, because our country's really gone all out to help. And it's not only dangerous, it's expensive, it's everything, but I consider it a great honor.
I know you appreciate our support, right? Sounds like a mafia boss. Tell me you appreciate our support in these times when it's really expensive and I still have to take care of you people. It's a United States territory. You're the president of the United States. It's not optional. It is your duty to take care of them. It's okay, but hey, have you thanked me enough? Because if you haven't thanked me enough, I don't know. I mean, you guys are ingrates. I mean, you're not even helping yourself. But don't worry, daddy's here, okay? I'm gonna take care of things as long as you guys all give me good grades and say wonderful things about me. In fact, here, one last clip, actually. And I'm gonna spare you the end where he makes the different politicians go around the room thanking him. Okay, but this is the beginning of that, watch.
So Congresswoman Jennifer Gonzalez Colon, who I've watched the other day, and she was saying such nice things about all of the people that have worked so hard. Jennifer, do you think you could say a little bit what you said about us today? And it's not about me, it's about these incredible people from the military to FEMA, the first responders. I mean, I've never seen people working so hard in my life. Well, I want to thank you because you were really generous, and I saw those comments and everybody saw those comments, and we really appreciate it.
Now, yeah, when you make good comments about me, I noticed that. All right, now everybody, and he went around the room and he made the different people say, oh, Donald Trump is great, and we really appreciate his support, and we thank, and he was walking around with a baseball bat behind him the whole time. Okay, no, he wasn't, okay, but come on, guys. I don't know, I guess his supporters think that's all wonderful, and they probably think like him, that yeah, they're Puerto Ricans, they're lucky we helped them at all. I mean, are they really Americans? They're down in Puerto Rico. And they probably share the same biases as Trump does, but he has no sense of empathy and helping others. He goes down to Puerto Rico. It's not that hard a job. It's basically a photo op where you just have to just show some degree of sympathy. Like Mike Pence is a standard politician. He goes down to these areas after Trump goes, and he does this, the little wince thing that he does, the fake concern, like, okay, that's it. That's all we're asking for. I don't care that it's fake. At least pretend you care about those people and do this, right? But Trump can't help himself. There's no this in him. There's no empathy in him. Now, everybody, let's go around the room. I mean, I've done fantastic, right? I'm an A+. Hey, everybody, tell me what an A-plus I am. How many people died here? Well, I didn't bother checking. I don't give a damn about you guys. Let's go back to me. Let's go back to me. I mean, we're doing wonderful. This is better than Hurricane Katrina. I do hurricanes better than Bush did them. I'm winning with my hurricanes. You guys were a mess with your hurricanes. Monster through and through.
I watched the whole thing. So there's pieces of it. Obviously, the governor that he had a sitting right to his right, because he's always been so nice to him. You're by my right. You're going to be in the shot the whole time. It was placement for the favored ones, right? The mayor of San Juan, Mayor Cruz, he's getting the battles back and forth with. She's off to the side. And actually, when the governor mentioned how everyone, especially people with mayors in parts of other parts of the country, and were helping out with this, he didn't look her way. He looked back at him like he did not acknowledge her. And as part of the victory tour of telling the congresswoman to say nice things and repeat them and asking the governor to repeat the nice things he said, he did not ask Mayor Cruz, hey, can you repeat some of the nice things you said about me? Because there were no nice things said about him. That lady did not exist in that entire time. So it was the preferred ones. You're right next to me because you've always been so nice to me. I didn't know this guy, but now I know him because he said the nice things about me.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I mean, to brag about how you didn't know the governor of Puerto Rico earlier, why don't you just shut your mouth about it? And look, guys, it's one thing if you're doing political battle and you're playing hardball and you say, hey, you don't vote with me on healthcare and you're not going to get to sit next to me on an important photo op. I get it. That's part of politics. I always think that it's hilarious that politicians care about that, right? But they do because they got to see themselves on TV, they got to get their names on, etc. So they care deeply about it. And both Democrats and Republicans do this. They'll stand for hours before the State of the Union to get their first, when the president first comes in to shake his hand, so they're on TV. Like, politicians are so cheesy. Okay, but now is not the time for that. When they need help so they could rescue people is not the time for that kind of politics. But there's Trump has no off switch on Monster. So now is always the time for him. All right, let's keep going. Let's go to guns. Okay. Now, Republicans love to say, there's nothing we can do about gun control, man. I mean, all these mass shootings, these massacres, the largest one in modern history happened yesterday in Las Vegas, 59 killed, or the night before, 59 killed, over 500 injured. And the Republicans' answer to it is, I don't know. Why? Because they get paid by the NRA to not do anything. So they're deeply corrupt and they don't mind playing with your lives. But they can't say that. So what are they going to say? Oh, mental illness. Now, do we know if this guy was mentally ill or not? Nah, it doesn't matter. That's our standard excuse. But you're going to want to wait to see what the reality is. First, they asked Paul Ryan, hey, are you going to do anything about this? I mean, when one person dies from terrorism in the country, that is really important. We all go to do something about it. And Paul Ryan and Trump go out there, oh, my, we have to fix this, the travel ban and the more bombings and stuff. 59 people died. No, I'm not going to do anything about it. But they've got their standard excuse. So go ahead, Paul. What's your excuse?
Yeah, I think one of the things we've learned from these shootings is that often underneath this is a diagnosis of mental illness. This is why we spent years working on mental illness with reform, Congressman Murphy's bill. And that's why the House of Representatives passed landmark mental health reform just a year ago. That law is now being implemented. So I think it's important that as we see the dust settle and we see what was behind some of these tragedies, that mental health reform is a critical ingredient to making sure that we can try and prevent some of these things from happening in the past. So that's just one example of the things that Congress has done to make sure that we can try and get ahead of these problems.
Oh, no, don't do anything about guns. Okay, the guy had 23 guns at the hotel. He had 19 at home. But don't do anything about guns. Did he kill people with mental health? No, he killed them with guns and bullets. But don't do anything about it. But that's okay. Let's pretend to do something about mental health. But wait a minute. I thought there was a bill about mental health and that you actually prevented people having their guns taken away if they have mental health issues. Well, anyway, let's find out because a couple of reporters are going to ask him. Watch.
Was it a mistake to make it easier for mentally ill people to get a gun?
Nicholson.
We rolled back the proposed rule allowing for Social Security to cross-check people whose benefits are being paid to third parties because they're considered mentally defective, to allow that cross-checking to Nick's background.
Yeah, there were people who were whose rights were being infringed, and that wasn't just it's a little more complicated than you're describing.
You don't think that goes in the opposite direction? What you just said,
though? Protecting people's rights was very important, and that's what that issue was all about.
So, wait, you said that the one thing you were doing about this was to make sure that we do something about mental health reform. And then the reporters pointed out, no, you actually made it easier for people who are mentally ill to get guns. And it's like, that's complicated. So, no. So you were just, you did the exact opposite of what your only excuse is. Your excuse is mental health. So let me go back to earlier this year. Go to NBC News and show you what actually happened back then. This was in February. President Donald Trump, they explained, quietly signed a bill into law Tuesday, rolling back an Obama-era regulation that made it harder for people with mental illnesses to purchase a gun. So Obama had made it harder for people with mental illness, serious mental illness, to purchase a gun. Trump rolled it back. Paul Ryan, the House and the Senate, helped him to roll it back and go, mentally ill people, they should get guns. Here, I'll give you more details. The rule, which was finalized in December, added people receiving Social Security checks for mental illnesses and people deemed unfit to handle their own financial affairs to the National Background Check database. So I'll give you further clarity on that. So they said, look, we've got this database where you need to do a check, and if somebody's got issues, and you know the NRA has whittled that database down. If you're on the terrorist watch list, you can still buy a gun in America. The degree of insanity of that is unimaginable. Gee, oh, there's nothing we could do. How about we don't let the guys on the terrorist watch list have a gun? No, they got rights. Terrorists have rights. That's Republicans protecting terrorist rights. Well, some people on the list are not exactly right. Sometimes maybe up to 3% could be wrong. How about the 97% that are right? How about you fix the 3% instead of saying let all the terrorists have guns? But in this case, it's about mental illness, their number one excuse. And this is for a category of people that are getting Social Security, but they cannot, they have been adjudicated to be so mentally ill that you can't trust them with their own money. They need someone to handle their financial affairs for them, so you can't even give them a Social Security check. The Republicans said and passed a law saying, even though they're not mentally fit to handle a single dollar, we want them to be able to buy guns. And then you have the nerve to go out on a press conference and say, we shouldn't do anything about guns, but we should do something about mental health. Those are sometimes, and it's not a judgment on them, just who they are. I want to have more mental health reform to help those folks. But you think a guy who can't be trusted with a single dollar, the government has adjudicated it. Their family and friends have asked, don't give him a dollar. He doesn't know how to spend it. Give him a gun. Give him a gun. No, these guys, they're so corrupt. It's not that they're just, it's easy to joke around and say, well, they're mentally ill. They're not. They're just corrupt and they don't care about your lives. As long as they get that NRA check, they don't give a damn about you and your loved ones. If you get shot by someone who's mentally ill, take it, whatever, let's go to our steak dinner. Here, I'm going to give you more details. Both the House and Senate last week passed a new bill, HJ Resolution 40, revoking the Obama era regulation. Trump signed the bill into law without a photo op or fanfare. On the same day back in February, he actually did huge photo op for other bills that he signed and other executive orders that he signed. But when he came to that, they're like, they put it in a footnote. Why? Because they know that what they did was abhorrent. They know they did it for the NRA checks. So they didn't want a photo op of Trump signing that, because they know that the next time somebody who's mentally ill shoots someone, people are going to say, hey, wait a minute, didn't you want the mentally ill to have guns? And so they don't want a photo op of that. They have no conscience whatsoever. At the time, one last quote from NBC. The National Rifle Association, quote, applauded Trump's action. I wonder if they're still applauding. So the next time you see a Republican out there, or a Democrat who is also funded and bribed by the NRA, talking about how there's nothing we can do, oh, the real issue is mental health, know that they are lying through their teeth. They are the swamp. They are the corrupted. They just took the money and they said, yes, we don't care how mentally ill you are. We don't even care if you're a terrorist. As long as our gun manufacturers that pay our campaign donations are making money off of your death, you have at it, Hoss. Give them the guns, give them whether they're mentally ill or terrorists. And if they kill you or your loved ones, we don't care as long as we cash the check. That's who Paul Ryan is. Okay. I hope I was clear enough on that. Now, let's go to another abhorrent Republican and his talking points on this and what the Republicans have been doing on a national scale on these issues. Okay. Jason Chaffetz was a Republican congressman, and he was supposed to do oversight of President Trump. He thought that job was so disastrous that he fled Congress and into the open arms of Fox News, where he's now a contributor. And he is paid to go out there and cover Republican asses. And in this case, since they think giving away guns like candy is a great idea, and oh, look, we had yet another massacre, the largest in modern history, and all these people are dead. Well, Fox News is going to trot out Jason Chaffetz to say, there's nothing we could do. I'm going to tell you what the reality is and what they actually did after we watch them. Let's watch.
Is there anything in your mind that could have been done to prevent something like that from happening?
I don't know of a single thing that would have prevented this this evil that possessed this person and to do this atrocity. I wish there was something that I could do to go back in time and just make sure that it never happened. But you know, let's grieve for those that are affected by this. People are, as the speaker said, are fighting for their lives. You got parents and loved ones who are just finding out that somebody was killed, for goodness sake. It's just not the time to dive into the politics and try to score political points on this topic. It's just not. I do think that background checks will obviously become an issue. I do think there's something we can do on the mental health front. But again, I think it's too early to do that. And it wouldn't necessarily have prevented what tragically happened in Las Vegas.
So look, we can go through the standard stuff of if it's too early for Las Vegas, can we do something about what happened in San Bernardino? Can we do something about what happened in Orlando? Can we do something about the cop shootings that happened? That was also a mass shooting in Dallas, in Louisiana. Can we do something about a mass shooting that happens every single day in America? On average, more than one a day last year and just about one a day this year, where four people are shot and injured and or killed in one shooting. That's a mass shooting. One per day in America. If it's too early for Las Vegas, can we just go back a week earlier? You'll find another mass shooting. A day earlier, you'll find a mass shooting. A month earlier, you'll find 30 mass shootings in that month. When is it ever time? And the reality is, Jason Chaffetz is just as corrupt as all of his colleagues, and he takes NRA money, and he is a corrupt harlot of industry. Okay, and so he got all of his checks. Now he's getting checks from Fox News. So he says, oh, golly gee, I wish I could go back in time and do something. Actually, you could have done something. You were a congressman. You could have voted for gun regulation. You could have voted for federal background checks, which 93% of Americans agree with. It's not a left-right issue. Even CNN does, oh, it's a left-right issue. The left says this, the right says that. No, 93% of Americans, unless you want to acknowledge that 93% of Americans are the left wing. They all say we should do federal background checks. Nope, Chaffetz votes no. All of his Republican colleagues vote no. Joe Manchin and other corporate Democrats, they vote no. So there is something you could have done. He talks about evil. I'm not going to get into who's really evil. Okay, so let's look at the guns in this case. These are pictures now from the hotel room of the shooter at Mandalay Bay. So there's all the bullets flying around. Obviously some heavy duty weaponry there. There's more. Let me give you the details. He had five handguns, two shotguns, a plethora of ammunition, as the authorities said, 42 guns total in the room and in his house. In his hotel room specifically, he had 23 weapons, one rifle outfitted with a bump stock, thousands of rounds of ammunition, ingredients used in explosives in his car. I wish there was something we could do, but there's nothing we could do. We just had to let him buy all those weapons. And we had to let him buy weapons where he could fire a seemingly endless number of bullets. Well, there's something you could do. You could actually limit the number of bullets in a magazine. That's legislation that has been proposed. Nope, not going to do that. Every American has the right to fire hundreds of bullets at once so they can massacre people more easily. Wait, I thought this was for hunting or self-protection. If there's a robber in your house, do you really need to fire 200 bullets at him? If there's a deer in the woods, do you really need to fire? Are you that bad a shot? You got to fire 200 bullets at him? Okay, or 100 or 30. No. The founding fathers wanted us to have as high a weaponry as we can. They had muskets. What do they know about fully automatic or semi-automatic weapons? So anyway, I don't want to get back into the Second Amendment and the nonsense interpretation of the insane right wing. But Travis says there's nothing we can do. But now, to be fair to him, we actually did go back in time. The Hill did a wonderful story about how actually legislators throughout the country at the state level have been taking action on the issue of guns. Okay, great, my bad, let's find out what they did. The new laws, all passed this year, include measures that will allow gun owners to carry weapons without a special permit, as well as carry those weapons in places like daycare facilities, official state buildings, and on college campuses. Oh, they made it much worse. Now, not all of them were bad. I'm going to give you two instances of positive gun control laws in the country, and then I'm going to give you the nightmare that is America, unfortunately, on this issue. Oregon legislators allowed residents concerned about family members or friends to seek an extreme risk protection order, which would block an individual with mental health issues from obtaining a weapon. Hey, there it is. Actual progressive legislators in Oregon went and did something about mental health. What Republicans claim they're going to do, but never ever do. So, and if Republicans voted for that bill, however few of them did, bless their hearts, okay? Because it isn't about partisan. I don't give a damn about Republicans or Democrats. All I care about is policy. So it's not the time for politics. What is politics for? It's for policy, okay? And policy is whether we're going to get massacred by these guys or not going to get massacred. All right, one more good news. Legislators in 8 states, Rhode Island, Louisiana, Maryland, Nevada, New Jersey, North Dakota, Tennessee, and Utah, notice by the way, blue and red states in there, that's good news, passed new measures to curb gun ownership for those who have been convicted of domestic abuse. Okay, that's the good news, that's all there is. Now let's go to the bad news. After Republicans claimed control of Iowa state legislature in 2016 elections, lawmakers this year passed the most sweeping package of gun rights laws in the country. The Iowa measure, House File 517, creates a so-called stand your ground policy. It also prevents cities from enacting stronger restrictions on gun rights than are permitted under state law. The measure signed by then Governor Terry Branstad also allows concealed carry holders to enter the state capitol building with their firearms. So let's break that one down. Okay, so first of all, stand your ground. This is the insane defense, by the way, during the Trayvon Martin case. I asked one of these guys who leads one of the prominent gun organizations in America, wait, you say that Zimmerman had had every right to stand his ground because Trayvon Martin was attacking him in your version of the story, and that he could shoot Trayvon Martin dead. But we know Zimmerman pursued Trayvon Martin, so didn't Trayvon Martin have a right to stand his ground, but he didn't have a weapon? He said no, you only have a right to stand your ground if you have a gun. If you don't have a gun, you don't have a right to do anything. You just have a right to get murdered. So in Iowa, they codified it. Yeah, okay, great. And then on top of that, they're like, wait, that's not enough. Let's be further further madness. Let's add further madness to this debacle already. Let's let people with guns walk into the Capitol building. Okay, I don't want anybody getting hurt. I'm a progressive. But if Republicans, all right, they're inviting disaster, man. You're gonna let you know how volatile politics is today. A Republican got shot, Steve Scalise got shot, right? A Democrat got shot, Gabby Giffords. And you're gonna let people with who are really pissed off about whatever they're pissed off about on either side walk into a government building with a gun. That's how Harvey Milk got shot. That's how, I mean, how many people have gotten shot that way? Do you know that we have tighter gun control laws in California? Because the Black Panthers realized that they had gun rights too, and they walked into a government building in California with guns, which was legal at the time. Boom, immediately they took away gun rights. And they were like, whoa, wait a minute, gun control. But they figure Iowa, it's okay, it's white people are gonna walk in, and I don't know what they think, but this is this country's lost its freaking mind, and it's because of the corruption. It's not just because they're stupid. And yes, they're also stupid. I mean, you're going to tell, you pass a law that somebody can walk in with a gun if they don't agree with you. Yes, that's corrupt, but that's also maniacally stupid. Okay, let's go to other places. New Hampshire and North Dakota will eliminate requirements for obtaining a permit for carrying concealed firearms, a measure gun rights advocates call constitutional carry. The Indiana and Wisconsin legislatures are considering similar measures that could move as early as this year. Oh, what do you need a permit for? I mean, do you know that almost everywhere in America you need a permit to go fishing? That's just to put a little, you know, in our local lake in New Jersey, I remember somebody was going fishing and I thought, oh, that's cool, I wouldn't mind going fishing. They said, whoa, 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 you better get a permit. Okay, you, to do the most benign things, you want to improve your garage, you need a permit. You want to do anything, you need a permit, right? A gun, nah, who needs a permit for that? That kills people. Have at it, hoss. And then, well, wait, won't it be harder for the cops to track down who did the killing? Yeah, of course, that'll lead to more gun sales. What do you mean? Yeah, I know. Ohio permit holders will be allowed to carry concealed weapons in daycare facilities and in public parts of airports. Just when you thought they couldn't get any dumber. Those in Wyoming will be allowed to carry firearms in kindergarten through 12th grade. Georgia and Arkansas residents may carry firearms on college and university campuses. Because a drunken frat party is the best place to bring a gun. That's a great idea. Maybe second best place is an airport. Third best place might be daycare. Because you know those toddlers, you never know what happens. So I know. Oh, well, you could protect yourself in case a deranged toddler gets out of control. The rest of the world thinks we're lunatics. And looking at these laws, it's hard to argue with them. But hey, if you don't live inside America, you have to understand something. You don't, because you might have corruption in your neck of the woods, but we made corruption systematic. And so, you know, in your country, you might have to actually give cash to a politician and keep it secret and put it in a suitcase or a Swiss bank account or somewhere in Panama or something. No. In our country, we just made it legal. You could just give money in the form of campaign donations to politicians, and then they work for you. And then they're brazen about it. Like, I don't care if your kids get shot in daycare. Did you give me a check or did you not? That toddler did not write me a check. The NRA wrote me a check. So from now on, you can go bring guns anywhere you like. One more. And in Texas, lawmakers decriminalize possession of suppressors. Now, that's the politically correct term for silencers. That's what assassins use. But no, I'm told by gun lovers in America, no, you don't understand, Mendoza, you need that for the hearing. There's also this you could use for hearing when you're shooting. Oh, right, the things that you put on your ears, or this. Right, that's how we normally did it. You know what you need suppressors for? To murder people and have people not hear it. I need it for the deer. The deer, I can't have it so you can. You already shot it. Okay, the Justice Department, it never ends. So that was all local and state level, okay? Now, the Justice Department also ended Operation Choke Point, another Obama era program aimed at preventing criminal fraud in the gun industry. Who's against preventing criminal fraud in anything? In anything? These guys are the ones pretending to be for the rule of law, the law and order. I mean, unless you're Wall Street, then you do criminal fraud all you like and we're going to let you go. They just are now considering a legislation, we covered this on the show last week, where they said, no, we're going to let Wall Street regulate itself. If they turn themselves in, they'll have lesser penalties. And then afterwards they said, where's my money? Wall Street, where's my money? You give me campaign donations? Okay, you break any law you like. Gun industry, you give me money? Break any law that you like. Criminal fraud, have at it, hoss. What do I care? Why do they do this? The NRA has been especially active on Capitol Hill this year. After spending millions to elect Trump and Republican members of Congress, the group has spent $3.2 million lobbying Congress during the first half of the year, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. We have legalized bribery in America. And it is literally killing us. Wolf-pack.com. If you don't get money out of politics, this nightmare is never going to end. They're never going to work for us. They're just going to go to the highest bidder. and the NRA has more money than you do, so they're going to allow people with mental health problems to get it, people on the terrorist watch list to get it. They're going to let them bring it into daycare. They're going to let them bring it onto college campuses, into state buildings. They're going to airports. They're going to let them bring it anywhere they want because they're going to make money off of it. That's today's America. For God's sake, get us real change. Young Turks. All right, back on the Young Turks. A couple of quick tweets for you guys. Riley Grady writes, and motherfucker going to break both arms patting himself on the back. Referring to Trump, obviously. Trey Beatty says, press conference with Trump in Puerto Rico. Quote, this governor, you know he doesn't know the guy's name. Of course, he didn't bother to find out how many people died down there. You think he knows the governor's name? This governor right here, who I didn't know before. Which he said. Solvi says, I hunt. I've hunted with arrows, slings, shotguns, and rifles. The only thing to hunt with automatic weapons is people. So wrong. Thank you, that's exactly right. So let's go give you more Puerto Rico and unfortunately more guns. Okay, Donald Trump is down in Puerto Rico. He did a huge press conference patting himself on the back. We've been wonderful, we've been fantastic. Before he left, he said, we got an A plus in Houston and Florida. I don't know who gave him that A plus. The same thing in Puerto Rico, and he made politicians go around the table and pat him on the back. Well, he wasn't done having fun. Here he's supposed to give out supplies to the people of Puerto Rico. Remember when he went down to Houston and instead of putting it in the pickup truck, he handed the supplies through the driver window. They didn't know what to do with it and couldn't drive off. Well, the goofball's at it again because he thinks, well, 16 people died. 95% of the island doesn't have any power. People can't reach their loved ones. They don't know if they're dead or alive. Let's have fun instead. So watch the beginning, which is unbelievable. He's like, he thinks he's at a basketball game. Hey, everybody gets a t-shirt. Or you know, he's a reality show host. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Everybody Gets a Car, or when Tyra did, Everybody Gets Vaseline. And then listen to what he says at the end. Watch. Thank God he didn't throw those. You put it past him, don't put it past him, okay? So now here it comes.
There's a lot of love in this room. A lot of love in this room.
You're supposed to be helping victims of a hurricane, but he has no sense of self, he has no sense of conscience. So he's like, there's a lot of love for me here, right? I threw paper towels at people, people loved it. Hey, look at that, I'm having fun. This one was a three-pointer. There's a lot of love in this room. Ha ha! Is that one of those guys, the blasters that blast the t-shirts into the crowd? He's a reality show host. He's a circus clown. That he can't help himself. That's who he is. We elected a clown, so we shouldn't be surprised that he brought us a three-ring circus. Okay, let's go to the next story. So yesterday, after the tragic shootings in Las Vegas, I don't know that I'd even call it a prediction, but I kind of made a prediction on Twitter. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. It was mainly an insult. I wrote Q NRA idiots to say mass shooter in Vegas could have done it with a rope or a knife. High power weapons make mass murder easier. Hashtag gun control. Okay. I don't know if Dana Loesch, who is an NRA spokesperson and supposedly a media figure, she does propaganda for the NRA. Which self-loathing media organization would hire a propagandist like that? I don't know. I bet I could look it up. I bet you could look it up. Anyway, Dana Loesch is out there to prove me right. So she comes out and tweets the next day, 59 people killed in Las Vegas, over 500 injured. She writes, right after we ban pools, cars, cigarettes, alcohol, hands, feet, and fists, lives lost due to these constitute an epidemic. Is that supposed to be funny? Or are you being serious? Do you think that guy could have punched 59 people to death? Do you think he could have injured 500 people with his feet? Are you making a joke? Or are you really this stupid? You know, what she was responding to was a report by the American College of Physicians saying that this is a public health issue. Of course it is. We have one mass shooting per day in America on average. Here, I've got the stats for you. Between 2001 and 2014, we had 440,000 firearm deaths. Just a little point of comparison, a little over 3,000 killed in domestic acts of terrorism. 440,000 people died. That's not a war, that's a giant war. That's like a world war kind of number. That's in 14 years in America. Gun deaths per year, 33,000. Are 33,000 people killed by feet every year? Is that funny? Is that the point you're making, Dana? Mass shootings, 363 mass shootings. I'm sorry, 383 mass shootings in 2016, 15,000 people killed in gun violence. This year so far in 275 days, this is from yesterday, 273 mass shootings, 11,600 people killed. No, she's unfazed by that. Your family members got murdered? What does she care? She's literally paid to do propaganda for the NRA, so she wants to distract you and make jokes. Haha. So she writes, "It's a health issue," in quotes. Cars, then hand, feet, and fists will be banned first. Also, pools. I literally don't know if she's joking and thinks it's funny that you had family members who were murdered. Maybe she thinks it's hilarious. Or she is one of the dumbest people alive. She thinks, oh, somebody with their feet or with a pool can drown 59 people and shoot over 500. These weapons make it much, much easier to kill people. You know why? That's what they're designed to do. They are killing machines. Your hands and feet and pools are not the same thing. And you know that, but you're paid to be a shill for the NRA, and I'm being awfully kind when I leave it there. You also know exactly what you are. It's a lot worse than that. Young Turks. All right, back on the Young Turks on a heavy day here. Read you some tweets and then some chat stuff. So Just Ray here writes, "Jank, don't insult circus clowns." Nick writes, "Yeah, let me whip out my high-powered, fully automatic foot." Look, I don't want to replay the video, but you know, we played the video yesterday, and it's horrific. It looks like a scene out of a war movie. And she's going around, "Oh, you could do just as much damage with your feet." Now, YouTube Super Chat. By the way, if you put comments there, they go to the top, plus you help the show, so we appreciate it. Edward Lingenfelter writes in, "Trump goes to Puerto Rico and makes jokes while they're suffering. What will he say when he's in Las Vegas? Hey, at least you got to enjoy a concert." I swear he has no situational awareness. Yeah, he'd be a disaster in the military. Luckily, he didn't have to go during Vietnam because his dad wrote him a doctor's note. Corrupt motherfucker. Anyway, Ben Peck writes in, "Imagine if we vetted gun purchases as stringently as Trump wants to vet refugees. When it's Muslims, can't even take a 1% chance. Guns, oh well." Yeah, what happened to the 1% principle? Dick Cheney talked about it. When it's refugees, oh no, no, you can't take any chances at all. Guns take all the chances in the world. Only 33,000 people die every year from gun-related deaths. So who cares? Let's just take wild chances, give them to the mentally ill, give them to people on the terrorist watch list. 1% chance though when it comes to Muslims. All right, let's go over here. Okay, by the way, today I'm gonna do overtime. There's too many stories. So if you're a member, stay tuned for that. And by the way, tytnetwork.com/join. I hope we're giving you a different perspective today than the rest of the media. Thank you for supporting us. All right, speaking of support, let's go to Wolfpack. Okay, so Wolfpack is doing a donation drive now. And what I'm about to tell you is that we got something fun coming up. And it's when we're going on the offense. So enough Mr. Nice Guy. Let's go take some people out. So politics is about carrots and sticks. So we do plenty of carrots. We help people who want to get money out of politics. We help legislators who want to get money out of politics. And if you don't want to get money out of politics, well, that's okay. We can raise money too, and we can spend it against you. And when we did that in Connecticut, boy, they cried and cried. But it's not fair that you're spending money. Great, I got a deal for you. Get money out of politics, and we're done with it. So the drive is wolf-pack.com/wedding. It started because this lovely, lovely couple decided that as part of their wedding registry, they were going to put Wolfpack in to raise money for a cause. And we called it a red, white, and blue wedding. But now for our political opponents, it might just become a red wedding. So either way, that's the URL you go do to help. We want to raise $100,000 so we can go get the bad guys. And wouldn't it be fun? Look, we've eliminated some in the past. Yeah, I'm going to tell you an amazing story about that in a second. But I want to show the volunteers too. By the way, if you want to have as part of your wedding registry or birthday or bar mitzvah or anything else, an ability to donate to Wolfpack as well, email them at together@wolf-pack.com. Okay. So now I'm going to show you some of the volunteers from Wolfpack and some of the leaders of Wolfpack. I'm going to show you two videos. The second one is about victory, and that's awesome. The first one is about what they're up to. So I want you to get that context before I tell you what the new campaign is. Here, let's watch.
My name is Allison Hartson. I am a national director with Wolfpack.
Pop on those 3D glasses, guys, because it's about to get crazy.
The goal of Wolfpack is to get an amendment to the US Constitution that will allow us to have free and fair elections.
It's not the only issue, but it's the first issue, and that's money in politics.
The goal of Wolfpack is to get a representative democracy back in this country.
The corruption issue affects every other issue. You name it. You can go down the list. Education, the environment, the military, the economy.
People at the top, they're making the most money, are the ones that are dictating all of the rules. That is the antithesis of a democracy.
Wolfpack has the most intelligent, plausible way to get money out of politics.
We have the logical plan.
So what we're trying to do is to use the power that our forefathers gave us in the US Constitution through Article 5.
Article 5 is a specific procedure set up in the Constitution to propose amendments to it.
You have to work state by state. You need 34 states to make that happen.
Vermont, California, Illinois, New Jersey, and Rhode Island, we've passed in those states so far.
One of the hardest parts of my job is that I have to follow her. Give me a break.
My name is Mike Manetta. I am a national director with Wolfpack.
We have decided to move Wolfpack from defense to offense.
I'm gonna tell you about that offense in a sec. So none of those people have ever worked in politics. They're not politicians, they're not lobbyists, they're citizen warriors. Lobbyists are mercenaries. We're gonna run roughshod over them. So before I tell you about the new plan, let me show you one last thing about how we win. Because you know, the mainstream media sometimes, not sometimes, almost all the time, they're totally oblivious to stuff like this. And they never pay any attention to it. All they do is they keep score with who has more money and who doesn't. They reward corruption by talking about, oh, that guy raised a lot of money, he's a legitimate candidate. So the reality is we've already gotten this pass in 5 states. Here from them.
23rd day of February 2015 was the day we victoriously passed the resolution. And it really felt like I just walked into a tsunami during its most powerful wave and got to surf that current with the people that ended up changing my life.
When we passed in California, that was my first win that I got to personally enjoy. That was amazing. I think I was hooked, officially hooked at that point.
I was in Rhode Island when we passed. I was probably there every single day that week, just standing outside, holding up signs, waiting for legislators. 2 years of really, really hard work condensed into this one amazing moment of victory.
Fulfillment's a hell of a drug, guys. It is, man. Nothing feels better than winning on a righteous cause. So Allison, when she organized the entire state of California, was a teacher in Orange County. Had never ever done anything in politics before. Eventually we wound up hiring her. We also wound up hiring the guys who won in Rhode Island. And how do we do that? We did that through fundraisers just like this. Look, you want to volunteer instead? You want to be one of those guys who are the leaders? Fantastic, that's even better. Wolf-pack.com. Do it today, do it in whatever state you're in. It's going to make a huge difference. If you can't volunteer and you just want to give, whether it's just a little bit of money now or 10 bucks a month, whatever you want, wolf-pack.com/wedding. So what are we going to do next? Well, like Allison said, we got to go on the offense. So if we get to $100,000, I'm going to announce to you guys who we're going to target. But it's time to move people out. So we've helped people get elected in places like Vermont and other states. We also in New Hampshire got this guy named Valancourt thrown out of office. He was a six-term incumbent, and they thought, he's been in office since the 1990s. How are you guys going to do that? You can't do that. That's impossible. We went door to door. He tabled our resolution and didn't allow a vote on it, so we removed him from office. He lost by 93 votes because we came for him. The night before the election, he ran into Mike Mineta, who you saw there, at a Burger King. And he said to him, are you one of the guys that came for me? It's like out of a movie. By the way, a couple of elections later, to be fair, Valancourt got his seat back. And then, unfortunately, he passed away recently. You know what was one of the last things he voted on? He voted to make sure that our resolution got a vote. Politics works. And carrots work, but so do sticks. Let's go on the offense together. wolf-pack.com/wedding. And if you're in favor of money in politics and you're in favor of corruption, that might be a red wedding for you. Watch the whole video of the volunteers down below. There's a link in the description box, and it's up on TYT Politics. And go get involved. Do it today. It'll be the best thing you ever did. Okay, now I want to go to Just Democrats, because there's a story in the news about it. Kind of. So, Politico has an interesting article about how Democrats are not facing any primaries, which is news to me because I'm pretty sure there's at least 15 primaries coming. I'm going to tell you about that in a second. First, let me introduce the article, the very poorly researched article for you guys. They write, Democrats have long been terrified that the Sanders-Clinton slugfest of 2016 would set off a prolonged civil war in the party, forcing incumbents to fight off primary challengers from the left in Senate and gubernatorial races. It hasn't happened. Really? So later in the article, there's an oblique references to groups that rose up to do primary challenges, but he just erased it from history that they're not happening. So now the reality is they are happening. Let me show you the candidates. These are 16 Justice Democratic candidates. Ro Khanna near the middle there is an incumbent. Everyone else is now running in races. And yes, some of them are running against Republicans and are in an open seat, and there are no other Democrats in there. And if a Democratic establishment figure comes in, and I guess they don't believe in unity, right? Some of them are running against Republicans, and there's plenty of other Democrats in the race. And some are running against incumbents. Cori Bush in Missouri is running against Clay. You've got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez running against a very important incumbent, Joe Crowley in New York. Paula Swearengen on the lower right running against Joe Manchin. So I don't know if the writers of Politico don't possess a computer. It's called the internet. You might want to Google it. And I'll tell you why they actually ignored these primaries in a second. And the number one excuse they usually give is money. If you don't raise money, you're not a serious candidate. So first of all, that's a horrible metric, because you aid and abet corruption that way. And you encourage people who have received more legalized bribes. Okay. Oh, wow, a lot of big corporations gave you money, a lot, millions of dollars. Then you're a legitimate candidate. The unions gave you millions of dollars. Then you're a legitimate candidate. Okay, so if someone bought you off, you're a legitimate candidate. But what if we raise money from small donors? Yeah, but you can't raise a lot. Really? Because the Justice Democrats, now that's the progressive strong wing of the Democratic Party. Yes, it's new. So again, the guys in the Washington bubble might be like, oh my God, something's new. We only like things that are old and part of the establishment. But you might want to look into it. Well, to be fair, how much of those candidates raised and the Justice Democratic Party? $3 million. And you know who we got it from? We got it from you guys. Here, do it again. JusticeDemocrats.com/win. JusticeDemocrats.com/win. Small donors so that the Justice Democrats work for you guys and they're uncorrupted. But Politico and Washington, they're uncomfortable with that. You can even tell it in the small ways. I'm going to show you the bigger ways too. But in the small ways in the article. So Gabrielle De Benedetti, who wrote this article, sorry for your horrible pronunciation of your name, says, Democrats have largely been spared of that predicament, referring to primaries. Look at the assumption there. Primaries are bad. It's a predicament for the Democratic Party. Well, how do you know it's a bad thing for the Democratic Party? The Republicans primary the hell out of each other, and all they do is win. They won the House, they won the Senate, they won the White House. They had 17 people in a primary on the Republican side. The Democrats are like, don't ever primary Hillary Clinton, she's the anointed one. How'd that turn out? It turns out 17 people in a primary led to a win. It didn't lead to a loss. Turns out primarying Republicans led to more and more wins. How many houses have they lost now in the state level? They've lost over 1,000 seats the Democrats have at the state level. So why is it a predicament to primary people? Because your assumption is people in power are awesome and they should always maintain their power. You don't know that that's your assumption, but it is. Further little tidbits here. Another part of the article. Messy Democratic primaries are still expected in several House districts. See, primaries aren't productive and helpful and get you to a better candidate and an important part of democracy. They're messy. They're messy. You don't want primaries. Okay, well, we can strike a deal. How about we just take whoever's the most popular Democrat in the country now, and in 2020, you all promise, both the Democratic establishment and Politico and all the writers in Washington, and you all promise to say primaries are a bad thing, they're messy, they're a predicament, and we definitely, definitely shouldn't have them. Oh, who's the leading Democrat in the country now? Who's the most popular guy? Oh, right, Bernie Sanders. Do we have a deal? Primaries are bad and messy, right? Oh, we don't have a deal, do we? You're gonna run a whole heap of people to make sure Bernie Sanders doesn't get that nomination. Okay, so let's just understand that you're liars and all you care about is protecting power. Let's just understand that, okay? So we believe in primaries. Yes, of course Bernie Sanders should be in a primary, and yes, other people should run against him. You know why? We're not afraid of the challenge. We have winning ideas. We don't have losing ideas like the corporate Democrats who are like, oh, I got a great idea. As Barney Frank once told one of our reporters, you want the Republicans to take 100% of the bank money? We should take 20%, they should take 80%. What a genius idea, corporate Democrat. A perpetual losing strategy. So no, I can't wait for that mess if you think that's a mess in terms of primaries. We are consistent, you are not. So now let's go more to the heart of the story. They write, most filing deadlines are still months away, and so insurgents who aren't currently on the radar could still launch late challenges. On whose radar? They're right there. They raise all that money, they're gonna raise more money. They've got all these volunteers. We just did a poll in West Virginia, Joe Manchin's underwater, he's at 46%. How many times have I read articles about if an incumbent is under 50%, that's a really bad sign. But if it's about one of their beloved establishment guys, I don't see it, I see it, I don't see it, I don't hear it. What poll? No, what candidate? There's a candidate against him? Paula Jean Swearengin did a Reddit, it was one of the most popular Reddits in history. I don't see it, no popular support. Did she raise any good corporate money? She hasn't raised corporate money, nope. Not legitimate, not legitimate. They go on. Meanwhile, liberal challenges to Senators Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Claire McCaskill of Missouri have so far failed to gain traction. Failed to gain traction with who? With you. Why did they fail to gain traction with you? Because you think if you take corporate money, you're awesome and you're winning. How did that work out for Hillary Clinton? How has it worked out for the entire Democratic Party? But if you don't take corporate money, you fail to gain traction. I'm gonna write not only am I gonna write a piece in essence crapping on you, but I'm gonna crap on you so hard that I'm not even gonna mention your name, because God forbid I should give you any publicity. I wanna smother you and make sure there's no oxygen in the room for any change, because I love Washington. Now the guys who write these stories and their editors, they don't know that they love Washington. They live in Washington, almost all of them. All their friends are Democrats and some Republicans and lobbyists and consultants, and they live in that bubble. They don't know it. I swear to you, they're not bad guys, they don't know it. They think, well, incumbents are fantastic. Power is awesome. Corporate money is the one metric we should use. It's in their heads, it's in their heads. They don't even know it's in their heads. More quotes. None of the many Democratic senators running in liberal states in 2018, such as Delaware's Tom Carper, Maryland's Ben Cardin, Minnesota's Amy Klobuchar, Rhode Island's Sheldon Whitehouse, or Washington's Maria Cantwell, have seen any reason to sweat their own positions. Now finally, we get to something that's true. That's true, and this is basically rubbing your face in it. See, these incumbents, Democratic incumbents in really blue states, they don't have to worry about any of their positions. They can take the corporate money and do whatever they want, and they can still please their donors, because you didn't primary them. But actually, you are. You're primarying some of them, but it doesn't count. I'm not going to mention it. It's so sorry. And listen to what they're saying there. If you want them to change their positions or actually hold progressive positions, why is it that in red states, Republicans get to elect monsters like Roy Moore, the most right-wing guys imaginable and some not imaginable? And in the bluest of states, no. Don't challenge corporate Democrats. My God, they might have to take popular positions then. Okay, final quote. But on the other side, with so much of the party's grassroots money flowing to anti-Trump efforts and candidates, there's so far no organized effort to funnel campaign cash or political support to potential Democratic challengers. Or there is, but either I didn't want to bother looking it up, or I looked it up and I thought, I don't care. Let me help my incumbent establishment friends by pretending they don't exist. Guys, there's only one way to prove them wrong. Because they're never, ever going to give anybody credit. Progressives? No way. The reality is that mainstream media has enormous disdain for progressives. No matter what you do, how much money you raise, how many volunteers you have, any other kind of metric, it doesn't matter. They have disdain for you. The right wing, oh my God, they call us right wing. They say we have liberal bias. Right wing, we bow down to you. Establishment, oh, they love, got nothing but love for them. But when it comes to progressives, they can't stand you. So there's only one way to show them, beat them. We're not going to have any goddamn beer summits, okay? We go run those primaries, go to justicedemocrats.com/win right now, okay? Volunteer, donate, do whatever you got to do. Find your favorite candidates, give to all of them, give to some of them. Do whatever you think is necessary. Don't let these establishment guys keep running this party into oblivion. This is how they lost to Trump. This is how they lost all those seats. Don't let them make that mistake again. The country is deeply progressive. You run on those positions, you run uncorrupted, and you win. Let's go out there and show them what we got, Young Turks.